Hello, buddy. It's Holger Müller here from Constellation Research with my good friend, colleague, partner in crime for the Coffee Corner podcast, right?
Coffee Corner Radio,
which we put into the video age, but you'll hear the Coffee Corner podcast, radio podcast. Oh my God, it's too early in the morning. Here, where's my coffee? Here's my coffee. to talk about our favorite topic. Okay. So, transcontinental coffee drinking, afternoon coffee and morning coffee for me with Martin Fischer. Hey, Martin, how are you?
Pretty good. Thank you very much. It's been a couple of months since we spoke to each other and recorded a podcast together, right, which is actually the rare occasions when we talk to each other. But I've heard that we will meet in person 2 weeks from now.
Somewhere in Scandinavia, I heard that too, yeah. Because you want to talk about this? I mean, somebody got lured by the low code.
Maybe it's good to do a full disclosure here. So yeah. I changed my job very recently, beginning of June. I joined Neptune Software in the area of the product management. So I'm now really into the low code, no code story. So don't be surprised if that might pop up a bit more often than in the past.
Well, congratulations on changing, right? I mean, the great resignation is happening everywhere, right? So the great reassessment, I like to call it, people are taking new jobs and different jobs all over the place. And,
I think
product management, you can put more imprints on the industry than with consulting engagements.
Might be the case. I'm quite sure about that. And leaving consulting after 15 years was also time now.
It's good not to be on the road every Monday to Thursday.
Yeah, right? It wasn't that. Last year, but I had that moments when I didn't know in which hotel room I wake up. Right.
Well, congratulations on your job. We look forward to hear only great things from you, and it's good that we probably continue this podcast series or whatever I want to say. Okay, cool. So let's talk about what's at hand, right? I mean, AC Milan got champion finally after 11 years, the longest wait time of my life.
you should just become fan of Bayern München, have that pleasure every year.
My brother has a son who turns 9, and I mean, what a sad life, like, for any team, right? I would even say if AC Milan won 10 years in a row and do your whole lifetime the champion is the same team, that's not a good thing.
I agree. So I'm a fan of the local club here in Stuttgart, the VfB, which is only located about a kilometer away from nice. Here. Nice. Painful.
Yeah, they're rough here, yeah, unfortunately, but they stayed with me, yeah. Yeah. But talking about bridging to our topic, right? I always like when there's an executive Q&A to ask the executive questions, which to change their wiring a little bit because they're all prepared, they know what's coming. Many people give canned questions, which is boring, right? So I ask something left field, right? So at Sapphire, I asked Christian Klein, without outing him, right, how he would think if his soccer team will play international soccer next year, right? I didn't say that. What his soccer team is. He then said himself, right, and I think it's on Twitter, it's Cologne, right? And he said, yeah, they're going to play international soccer, right? But he asked me first if I thought if Milan would be champion, right? So I got overtaken, I got trumped by my own questions, by the executive. That was fun, yeah. But yeah, but before Sapphire, there were all the DSAG meetings, right? And you attended some of them.
Yeah. Just a week before, there was Technology Days, or Technologietage in German, which were postponed from end of February to beginning of May. So the first in-person conference I visited for 2.5 years, most probably. It was really cool to meet the community again. And I think that was kind of a relief for all the people there. And in Germany, we are still running around with masks everywhere on that conferences. So it's a bit kind of strange sometimes, or a bit exhausting also. It was good to meet again. There were no that big news on the conference itself. Right. So as I think, I was kind of complaining about in that podcast, also after last decade and probably also after last Sapphire or the last year's Sapphire. And I mean, this year I didn't expect much just a week before Sapphire, because that's kind of hard for SAP to announce any, something just the week before on the DSAG thing. I wasn't expecting that.
It was even used as an excuse. Wait for Sapphire, I heard.
Yeah, wait for Sapphire. Well, and talking about Sapphire, I was kind of disappointed after that, because the news were also not that big. But maybe, I mean, I'm also following a bit. You are for sure a bit more. Other tech conferences, and also at the Google developer conference, there was not much news. Maybe the times just changed, that they announced their news on a more in the flow over the year, and it's not the time anymore of the big announcements.
That was kind of like one of the excuses when I asked the board why I shouldn't be underwhelmed, right? That in the cloud releasing things are ready and so on. But that's not the expectation of the customer base to a certain point, right? And on the flip side, I mean, wrecking my brain right now live here in the morning with little coffees, I don't remember SAP doing a major announcement because something slipped out in software stream. My personal concern right now is that software building productivity has taken a huge hit with COVID. Yeah, and from my connections, having built software for 25 years, I know that at first, at the beginning, it was all new. You were only not working at the office for a few weeks, and it was a few months. Then everybody figured out to build software by building, for anybody what's relevant, to build some COVID stuff, right? So whatever, tracking, vaccine management, whatever, all these things, right? That had to be done quick, because customers need it before they take it from somebody else. And then was all, when we go back and not go back, and then people settled into this business as usual, doing a lot of maintenance and minor things. And I've been asking software executives what's going on. I have a feeling that productivity is down, and they all say no. But what many of them admit, it's hard to do new stuff. Because modus operandi is get everybody in offsite for 1 week or for 2 weeks and sign everybody in blood, whatever. That's what we're going to do. So the software industry doesn't seem to have figured out a way to build big new stuff in this remote working environment.
I mean, as one of my hobbies in quotation marks, I'm also a bit into that agile methodology stuff. And I mean, they propagated from the beginning that co-location is a major thing. And I think even with COVID, you can't deny that it's the communication flow is different if you are in an office and sitting next to each other and having that coffee break conversations and developing ideas during lunch or whatever. I think that's missing, and I can imagine that that's an issue for the whole industry. And also coming back to that constant flow of news, I mean, there was also not much, at least from the technology side, with SAP in the last years. I mean, there is the sustainability topic, which they really stress now. I think a good thing. We already talked about that last year after Sapphire, if I remember right. I had the feeling that's the Europeans appreciate that more than the Americans. I had that feeling already last year when the two of us spoke, and I just listened to a podcast by James Wood and Paul Monahan, or not sure about this of the pronunciation of his last name. Sorry for that. And they also said, okay, we don't see that customers are asking for that sustainability stuff. I'm sure in Europe, that's a bit of a different story because of regulations are coming in, and also companies see that as a competitive advantage in the end for their PR reasons, whatever. Some of them even for greenwashing, probably.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the big challenge around all the ESG stuff. If it's just going to be a compliance topic, right? And like, I expect compliance from my ERP vendor, right? In every aspect, financial, HR, whatever. I pay maintenance for that. So will it be just that, or will it be really a way how to run the industry or your enterprise differently, right? And Christian Klein in his keynote said, yeah, we'll do a green ledger, but then it wasn't followed up, right? If SAP really say, here's a green ledger of every of your activities, I mean, people would pay attention. It's free, it's visible, and I think it will be great for the sustainability cause to put that in action, right? But that comes back to how quickly to develop that. And it's unclear where the ESG stuff will land, right? So, and like I always said to SAP and SAP customers, right? It's nice to talk about sustainability, but in the overall part, right, which is the answer which SAP has to give, how do we do ERP the 21st century, right? And tell their customers who have 5 years to upgrade or not to upgrade right now until 2027, like what's going to come, what's not going to come. It's not, it's like, to using unfortunately military term, right? It's a skirmish. It's not even a battle. It's not going to win the war for ERP to have a great sustainability offering.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, just looking a bit back on the past year, what came from SAP, okay, they stressed that we have already the supply chain management tools in place. I'm not really into that topic either. But from my perception, that was just, there was not much new things. It was just pushing Ariba a bit more and the stuff around there. Stress a bit more that there is an offering and there were some free access stuff to that Ariba marketplace stuff, but no really new application, at least from my understanding.
And enterprises are in their biggest supply chain crisis of my adult time, supposedly. I think I'm not a supply chain person either, right? But I even can see the ships lined up in Long Beach and not getting cleared and not getting transported, and logistic resources are short and things are being delayed, right? I mean, quantum computing vendors delay their quantum computers because they can't get their supplies in and so on, right? So Getty Systems as an example. So this has a major effect. So what an opportunity for supply chain software makers, right? And yes, they had a supply chain announcement, but yeah, I don't know how long SAP is talking about giving visibility in all the spend and how many people are buying stuff for Ariba and so on. Yeah, so I think maybe they also made the mistake not to manage expectations right? So obviously you're your first meeting in person again, and everybody expects it's going to be Sapphire like it used to be Sapphire with big announcements. So what they should have said, that they're going to do 5 or 6 Sapphires, right? And that will stagger out announcements. Then maybe they should have themed Orlando and say, Orlando, we talk about supply chain and sustainability, right? And you'll hear from us what we talk at the other events, right? Kind of like manage expectations better.
But there was this week Sapphire in Zurich, if I got it right from my Twitter timeline and LinkedIn timeline mainly. But I didn't see any announcement. I just saw some people posting that they are there. So I don't know if I just missed it or if there was nothing.
That's a great point. I didn't even look at the schedule because of what nothing would be happening. So Zurich, interesting place from all. I'm just going to cheat right now and look up the SAP press releases on their website. Knowing customers digitally is from June.
So we are very good prepared as usual.
the take, you don't have to quit your job to do good. No, the take, I don't know what the take means. A Russian sanctions energy price in EV sales. Report reveals gap going to green. And June 2nd is the take when tighter purses VCs look. What is the take? What kind of press release starts with the take? SAP's take. It's almost an opinion piece. It's not a press release.
Probably sounds like.
So what's the news on SAP's take? Oh, that's an interesting press release strategy. So that doesn't make me feel necessarily better. So it looks like they got things out for the poor people attending in Zurich, right? But we have to find someone who was there, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then on the Sapcom side, right? I mean, I met with Jürgen Müller. I like him. He's a great guy, right? I'm telling you, you need to speak more about technology and less about platforms. Yes, and even find the technologies that SAP is there to support the platform. Everybody knows this, right? It's good to be beyond the we'll beat Oracle with HANA and so on. Like, we're a platform technology player and so on. But I mean, the features of the platform were totally shorthanded. And I mean, only talk about the highlight was the low-code capability of the acquisition of AppGyver, which is 1.5 years ago or something. that was a little disappointing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember exactly when it was. Maybe I shouldn't comment too much on that one now. I think that was also the case at DSAG Technology Days.
February 11th, 2011, they said they're quite.
Okay. Yeah. 2021, I think, not 11.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nobody talked about low code in 2011.
That was still model driven development, most probably.
Agile was big then. Everything. Okay. Yeah, we would be dead if we wouldn't be there doing agile.
Yeah. Just coming back to that keynote stuff and topics, Jürgen also had a keynote on the DSAG Technology Days, and there. I was also missing the storyline for developers in the end. I mean, he was talking about business systems and applications, which is all good and correct. And but with that audience there, I mean, there's an annual conference where all the CIOs and stuff on the technology days are more the developers and architects and stuff like that. They are interested in having new technology features and a clear roadmap where the technology goes. And especially for BTP, I'm still wondering, and we talked about that several times already, is it really enough for SAP to have BTP as the integration platform for their different SaaS solutions? Yes. Your how many sisters? Six sisters? You always say.
Left the family kind of.
So is that really enough? I think not. It's a missed opportunity. I think it's a good thing that they don't compete with Azure and AWS on the PaaS story anymore, because there was nothing to win for SAP. They were just much faster. But on the other hand, there was that idea on creating reusable business services, which could be integrated in Azure development. And I see customers out there, old SAP stores, who are using Azure heavily for their custom development right now. They might even have BTP anyway, because there are some integration scenarios where they need it. And they could utilize such kind of services instead of rebuilding it. And I think SAP would have the trust to deliver that business knowledge and business ready, enterprise ready services out there. Instead of that, well, we see changing managers, I guess, in the last 2 years. The third one is now in charge on the whole BTP story. Seems like SAP is just busy with reorganizing, and the whole thing, all that loose ends are not coming together for me.
It's super, super unfortunate in my eyes, because the platform is more relevant at SAP than ever before, right? Because like this, we said, the six sisters are standardizing on the platform, right? There's more being used of BTP than ever at SAP before, because those six sisters platforms are slowly but steadily decommissioned, and some of them are more or less fully on BTP already. And that's a tremendous success story and tremendous value for customers, and something customers want to hear, right? So Christian Klein said, put this on the banner, right? Listen to customers, integration is the issue on a single platform. And SAP pays a price for it, because when you do integration work and to change platforms, you don't build much functionality, right? So like on the HR side, SuccessFactors hasn't shipped significant stuff in the last 3-4 years, right? They will of course debate this, but they were busy with platform work. Now they're there. Luckily, they do some platform benefits work, but it's almost like you don't talk about it. And that's tragic to me. That's unfortunate to me.
Same applies for me. I think another thing I'm kind of missing is the way forward with the whole S4 cloud story for especially. I mean, for at least here in Europe, I don't know how it's in the States. I don't see a high adoption in the end, because their large SAP customers are, in my opinion, not able to move to a public cloud, because, of course, one thing is they're heavily customized and with custom development enhanced systems. The other thing is, I think, and I just my guesses, I'm not really into that topic anymore, but I just can't imagine that a huge company like BASF or Daimler can just go there and change the processes of the whole company and adjust them to the standard processes an ERP vendor suggests in a way. And I don't know, I just read in the news often that Oracle is doing much better with their ERP cloud offering. Yeah. But I'm not that sure if they are focusing on the same customer size in the end, or is there a major difference?
Insane, but different industry focus usually, right? Or it's much stronger on service industries than manufacturing in comparison, right? But the interesting thing there is what helps Oracle, and if we compare the two, is right, the existing offerings of the customers are even older, right? So, and Oracle did a very good job in hindsight by saying, look, we're building Fusion, the new things. We're not forcing you to upgrade. We give you roadmaps and value out of your maintenance with what they call applications unlimited, right? I mean, until today, there's 800 plus PeopleSoft developers. And even this year, people are starting from fresh implementing PeopleSoft, trusting that agenda, right? So the whole 2027 conversation does not exist in the Oracle install base, right? So, and that takes a lot of the pressure off and makes the upgrade more on the merits. And if you go back to SAP, right, I mean, large company, mentioned BASF as an example, if they really want to go to S4, it's going to take them 5 years, right? So the train is leaving the station right now. So the bigger consequence of this is reading between the tea leaves, right, is the 2027 days not a hard date? Yeah, and so it's going to slip like it slipped before.
Right? It will slip. It's just, yeah. Yeah. I mean, what I see at customers, the S4 transformation or implementation is such a big elephant in the room. The whole IT departments are just kind of blocked. And there's, in these times, there are so many other things they should take care of. I mean, COVID was one thing. Now this war thing in Ukraine is another thing, which changes things, yeah, on a level we couldn't imagine even half a year ago. The IT departments, in my opinion, cannot afford to be blocked for 3 years with that kind of transformation, right, and postponing all the other projects which are around.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely right. So people are busy anyway. It's unfortunate timing with the pandemic. But the clarity, I need to know as a customer, what will SAP do and not do, right? They might not build all the industry capabilities, but what is going to come when, right? And that's what you base your decision on. If you say, I'm going to wait for this, or because getting old, I'm going to do an RFP. Of course, I will ask SAP to bid as well, but I will open it up. And the less SAP is doing on this roadmap delivery, less SAP is doing, like, look how we enhance ERP with AI and technology that we can only get with S4 in the cloud, the more we're switching the scenario, well, it's going to be an RFP because I have to re-implement for SAP. And if I have to re-implement, why am I not looking what's outside? Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Christian Klein, Thomas Sauer, Essig, Jürgen Müller, Julia, and so on, they all realize this, but it's puzzling to me that they don't act accordingly. But hey, it's the state of SAP.
Yeah.
On the positive side, the kids were in Sapphire with no adult supervision, no Hasso Plattner inside, right? This is
also a topic I had in mind for today, but he got another 2 years from the shareholders.
Yeah, you don't know. He's still there, right? He was like, his first unretirement was when Bernd Leukert was there. I was surprised to see him back at Sapphire, and he was helping Bernd to come up to speed, right? And since then, he had his keynote, blah, 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 and so on, right? So Thursday was always Sapphire's time. It's a hustle's time, right? And no adult supervision or senior owner of supervision this year, which is a good sign, which shows the trust, right? Which is a good thing on the other side, right? And on the positive side, I mean, I think Julia White certainly helps from the marketing side and got a little more Microsoft-ish from, like, things from Microsoft, like a day zero was done for analysts before day one. There was a book of news and so on. Those things Microsoft does all the time for their events, right? Which is fine. There's some cross-pollination, but yeah, it didn't blow people's socks off, right? Which maybe was the wrong expectation for the event.
Yeah, I just have a thought about the S4 on-prem and cloud story in my mind. Just popped in. just want to talk about that one maybe for a second. Just at the idea, I think it's hard for big companies to adjust their processes to the way SAP defines them, because anyway, they customized them heavily in the past. But maybe for some really core processes, that could be possible. I think right now, there is no way for them to say, okay, that really standard processes we can live with, we can just put into S/4HANA Cloud and run all our other highly or more customized stuff on-prem.
Yep. Well, maybe, IBM is all about hybrid cloud, right? Isn't that a great hybrid cloud use case? And but the problem is, of course, you're running SAP on instances which were sized to run your whole enterprise, right? So now running them as just the API to call, that's not a smart thing. What I see is very interesting. I've been telling this for a long time, and I don't know why it takes enterprise so long to adopt what I'm saying, like 8 years ago.
they should just listen to you.
Hustling me, right? I publish a report and people start doing this next day, right? I'm just kidding. It's much harder. But to me, the big solution, and that's where SAP also has regressed, right, is to use a data lake for integration, right? Instead of upgrading 50 SAP instances, right? You bring the SAP data with other data into a place. You run third-party apps there. You have an instant win on the business intelligence side, on the analytics side. You have the foundation to run AI, whoever AI you want, on the cloud that you want. And on that data lake, you can also put in your global S4 system. And maybe you just start with finance processes, which are more malleable, adaptable, more mature from the SAP side, right? So it's going to be the data source going forward. But SAP's a lake, data lake, what was it?
Story. HANA Cloud.
I was very bullish 3 years ago, 2019, when Gerd Katzmeier had his presentation with Hasso about that we need a data lake and so on.
Right? Just before he left.
Some of the topic went quiet again. I don't know really what happened there, but yeah. So.
Yeah, but wasn't it HANA Cloud? Not S/4HANA Cloud, HANA Cloud.
No, it was not HANA Cloud. It was... Lake House, Data Lake, SAP. Cloud Data Warehouse, SAP HANA Data Warehouse, something. Yeah.
Data Warehouse Cloud and underneath HANA Cloud. So Data Warehouse Cloud is running on HANA Cloud. So
it's right? This should be in the SAP Big Data Sapphire based on 2019, right? And
But they in that area, they announced, I think, a ticket. But don't know how they call that bridge again. So that bridge, which enables customers to run BW for HANA and Data Warehouse Cloud in parallel or something like that. So I'm not really into analytics. We are only talking about topics I'm not into today. So sorry.
Let's talk what you're into, Martin. Let's talk what you're into.
As I said, maybe we shouldn't talk about low code, no code, because I might be opinionated now. I think the analytics portfolio is anyway lacking innovation and attendance. I think that the SAP perspective is still very much from an SAP shop perspective, where customers, of course, analyze their data in a SAP data warehouse or BW, however you the product is named in the end. But that changed also at customer side. All that data lake stories with the Azure Cloud offerings, Google offerings and AWS, Snowflake, whatever, they are heavily adopted at customers. The SAP departments is kind of out of the game right now, because I think that's a bit because the data sources which come into those data lakes right now are not necessarily the SAP systems for the big part of it, as it was in the past. I mean, over the years, it all started with financial data, which needed to be analyzed. And there it was clear the SAP data warehouse brings a lot of value in there because you've got all the content to do the ETL things. Yep. Right now, customers are bringing different data sources together, yeah. and the ERP data are just one small data source in comparison.
Right. You're absolutely right, right? The ERP percentage of analytical content is diminishing. It's highly valuable because nothing makes sense without your system of record, but it's no longer a technology challenge. Right. Either right. new Snowflake, right? Old concept of the data warehouse, put it with a new engine of the cloud, or you go to real data lake and the percentage, the design challenges are in different kinds of data, which has the XVs, right? Velocity, veracity, volume, and so on. The ERP data is just a rounding error. It's not an engineering challenge, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think in that area, SAP is offering with Dataware, with HANA Cloud, might have just a too high footprint and a too high price tag in the end.
Well, and memory is expensive, right? And like I've been saying lots of time before, business relevant data grows faster for enterprises than in memory prices or memory chip prices come down. So Moore's law is not going to save the in-memory strategy. And like to remind everybody, right, 2019, I mean, Hasso kind of like said that publicly, right? I can dig out the tweet at Sapphire and said, and he didn't say like in memory, but he said, I held on too long to the real-time architecture, which if you're a technologist, you know, what is real-time for him? What's real-time for SAP? Clearly that is in memory. So the realization has been there. This is why the whole thing, which happened like 3 years ago. And yeah, we unfortunately haven't seen them. So something got forgotten again, but okay. But otherwise, I mean, there's a lot of good positive dynamic, right? It's a young team. It's the next generation of leadership at SAP. They will be there for 20 years, right? They're going to get a new CFO in the run, right? Who's the only senior person at the table, kind of like. And there's a bunch of barely 40-year-olds at the helm of SAP, which is like back in the 90s, right? So there's a renaissance of SAP from a generational leadership style, which is a good thing to see in my view. They just have to find the answer, which I basically, for me, it boils down to, which is a problem of the whole industry in defense of SAP. So SAP's problem is, how does ERP work in the 21st century, right? What are the best practices? How do finance people, how do purchasing people, how do supply chain people, how do sales logistics people, right? Run the ERP system in the 21st century. And we know that will not be the classic, Holger and Martin show up at work, they have coffee, they go to their workstation, they turn it up, they check their email, they haven't logged in their ERP system yet. Oh, look, they got a notification, they're logging in their ERP system. Hey, the user is there, the operator is there, everybody is happy, right? And, oh, wow, they found it in the menu system where they want to go. Oh, look at that, they even found the report. Oh, look, they're hesitating, there's something which they have to do. And now, of course, which is the problem of the ERP industry, they do it somewhere else, right? Oh my God, I have to call someone, I have to send an email, I have to take a screenshot to tell other people, we have to set up a call tomorrow where people again have to show up. And this whole operator model of all of enterprise software, I think that's horribly obsolete, not very humane, that the pressure is on the human to find where things are bad and they have to make the time. I mean, software has to reach out to the human and tell them what's happening from a general direction.
Yeah. By the way, because you just mentioned the announcement about the CFO, that there will be a replacement, I was pretty surprised on that one.
I was surprised as well. I didn't see that coming. I think it will look to me like the trusted CFO is in place, like while the kids are playing or something. Maybe Luca wants to run his own CEO thing, which he clearly couldn't do at SAP anymore. SAP always had CFOs sometimes in transition periods as a CEO, but that's not happening. Maybe they didn't agree on some things, right? I mean, cloud accounting is different than other.
Most probably. There's one thing which was a big thing on Sapphire, I think, even in the keynote already. The new partnering strategy, I would even call it strategy. So that was one part of the keynote, which I really would call strategy. All the other things were, wouldn't call it like that. There was that McKinsey announcement about the sustainability stuff. Well, there was also on day two or three, the Accenture keynote on their partnering and their S4 journey, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. I think that's, in general, a very good thing. Maybe it's also a sign that SAP is overcoming the not invented here thing, at least in that specific areas. But on the other hand, I think, I'm really hoping that they will also change and improve the partnership, which is done in the partner edge programs, with small build partners, with service partners, because they're in my experience working for a small consultancy company, at least if you look on our SAP part of revenue, in the past 10 years, it's really a one-way street. Mm. SAP just tells you you have to pay that fee, right, and you have to fulfill that preconditions to become partner, and you have to be aligned with that and that and sign that and that. But there's nothing coming back. You are not really doing business with SAP. And also with having BTP in place, I don't see that high adoption of partners.
Yeah, I think the classic SAP partner follows the technology when the customer of SAP tells them, I need someone who knows this, right? Then everybody taps. So, but maybe the whole SI model, without saying bad thing, right? Utilization is an important metric. But you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you brought this up, and I almost forgot, right? The interesting thing was, I'm not sure if Christian Klein said that on the keynote even, but at the Q&A, he said, we need to have more partners. We cannot build it all alone. We can't build ourselves. And he's happy to give business away to partners for them to build software and be clear about it, right? And you see a little bit on the spin-off on the banking side, right? So SAP's ambition to build core banking in-house, which has been there for almost 30 years, is clearly not there anymore. So they're cutting off stuff, because the other thing is, I mean, SAP, just for their ambition and what they have to build, they don't have enough developers.
Yeah. As nobody has.
It's not going to change, right? SAP is not going to double its development force, which probably would need to do everything to stay with that claim. So I think it's a good realization. Again, it needs the communication of saying, okay, this partner for this vertical, this partner is going to build this, and so on. SAP can do this, right? If you remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had a very successful all-in-one program for SMB, right? Where a partner would get a vertical for all of Germany, right, literally got that business, had to build to a roadmap. Two of them lost the business because they didn't deliver to the roadmap because whatever, they didn't realize the opportunity. But SAP knows how to do this. Have done this in the past in large, their biggest market relatively from Germany. So now they just have to repeat, just have to repeat it. We just say it here, they do it tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Anything else important?
I have to admit, we have some notes for preparation. Just checking them quickly. I guess I've got all of it, kind of. Just on.
I think we have
quick one. Yeah. Anyway, we are running out of time, kind of.
our listening at time. Yeah. So we have one live viewer, which is shocking. Right? But, okay. Thank you to the live viewer. Much more on the replay typically. Yeah, so I mean, it's good that SAP had the event. I think people were happy to meet in person.
I think so.
If you have the huge Orlando floor, which people compare to having 30, 35, I think at some point 50,000 people there, and then there's 7,000 there. So there's tons of space, tons of emptiness, right? And everybody in their head who has been there before compares it to that, right? Also, like, it's super, like, quickly to the partners, right? Have you been to the Sapphire in Orlando?
No. Not okay, yet.
They've done an amazing job on the show floor in general, right? Because open keynote seating, screens everywhere, different sitting areas. So very interesting, innovative show floor. Give SAP kudos very much when they came up with this. They moved the presentation area, but the lower back, the third, was always partners with big stands and so on. And I don't know if they didn't manage to sign them up, but there were no partner stands, right? And where SAP said, do more with partners, right? The usual expectation, what you see with partners, that one third is them and they struggle for attention and so on, of all the things, that wasn't there, right? So I don't know if it was too short or they didn't want to pay. They had some branded partners, strategic partners like McKinsey was at the sustainability area and so on, fine. But not like from the largest SAP partners to the small one which has like a 3 meter booth with the one CRTV there. Yeah, so that was surprising, interesting. But okay, it is what it is.
We will see how that
the other big stuff was Christian Kreis on the keynote was only 2,000 customers on S/4HANA.
Right? Yeah.
60%, I think it was 60, the majority being net new customers, right? And shows what we were saying before. It's hard for these SAP customers to upgrade to S/4, especially in the cloud.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that huge number of net new customers, actually.
Right. Because normally when you have a new version, new customers come in anyway, you want to start the new customers on that, but usually your installed base outpaces the net new customers, but this might still have to come. And yeah. There's always different numbers, 13,000 SAP customers, 17,000 relevant SAP customers, right? It shows how long the way is that SAP still has to go. But hey, good news, we'll keep us busy.
For sure. Even me after leaving consulting now.
Cool. Well, thank you for your perspective. Always enjoy that.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on the new job, right? So, but you're still in the ecosystem, right? So you hear and see things, right?
Yeah, but that was actually one of the main reasons for changing the jobs or staying in the SAP ecosystem.
Yeah, if you know something really well, right, it's good to make a lateral move, right? And congratulations, right? So
thanks.
So I look forward to the first release of Neptune with your fingerprints on there that you can claim some features and say, oh, from my spec.
Yeah, well, you might need to wait.
Yeah. Well, it's just got a few features there, right? So.
Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to meet you in Oslo and on the 21st, I think, June. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Martin. Stay healthy. And
you too.
In less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, see you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.